Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We know we've been watching The Last Dance. Well, I had to bring on someone, one of the few men who've been a teammate of both Michael Jordan and LeBron James. He also has an NBA title himself as a member of the Dallas Mavericks. It's my main man, current NBA analyst, Brendan Haywood. Brendan, how you doing, man?
Man, Jay, I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
Nah, no doubt about it. Well, obviously, we all saw The Last Dance. You have personal experience in MJ's last 2 years with the Wizards that has nothing to do with the documentary. But is there anything that you would have wanted to see out of The Last Dance that we didn't see?
You know what? I didn't. There's nothing that I could have asked for more from The Last Dance. The Last Dance gave everybody a chance to see Mike in a different light. Even as somebody that played with him for 2 years, I never saw the softer side of Mike. Like the Mike writing poetry after he won the championship, I never saw that side of Mike. Or the guy that was about to break down and get emotional because of people criticizing how he went about things with his teammates, I never saw that side of Mike. So I think that The Last Dance did an excellent job of showing the human side, you know, showing how all the pressure of being Michael Jordan just weighed on MJ and forced him to retire and not have as much fun. Like, everybody thinks it's fun to be Michael Jordan, but Michael Jordan himself was like, nah, this life isn't really what you want. So I think ESPN did an excellent job of showing us MJ as more than just a basketball player, showing us everything that goes into being Michael Jordan.
Well, Brendan, you talk about it wasn't fun being MJ. Did you see instances in your 2 years of playing with him with the Wizards that he was a little bit more reticent and off to himself? Like, what's the wildest thing that you've seen, you know, come his way on the road?
I never saw MJ to himself because MJ has the personality that when he's in the room, he's smoking his cigar, he's talking with everybody, he's interacting. Like, they're going to be playing cards, they're going to be joking around. That's just how he is. I never saw MJ, like, off to himself. Because whenever he's in a room full of people, he's always on. He's always giving you the Michael Jordan experience, as you might want to call it. As far as I haven't really seen anything wild on the road from MJ, because I didn't, like I said, like I would be around him on the plane, team functions, but I was a rookie, man. I wasn't invited to those car games. I didn't have enough money to get in those car games, JR. I couldn't afford that, man. So I was never around with the gambling and the car games and hanging out. The thing to me that stuck out the most is that I know Mike would be up to sometimes 4 or 5 in the morning playing cards, and then I would see him down there lifting weights in the morning in the hotel gyms because the rookies had to be there early. So we might have to go work out at like 8, 9 o'clock in the morning before we left to go to shoot around, and there would be Michael Jordan and there would Tim Grover working out, and we're like, dude, this dude's off on like 3 hours of sleep. How is he here this early? But that's what he always did, and he said in the documentary, I'll never ask my teammates to do something that I wouldn't do myself.
Well, he certainly was running through a wall for preparation. We're chatting it up with Brendan Haywood, NBA champ, member of the Washington Wizards, the Mavs, also the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's talk about MJ as a teammate. I mean, more recently, we've had a lot of talk about that. You know, Jerry Stackhouse has put out his own thoughts. What was it like in practices? I remember even seeing a story where you told him, hey, man, you ain't no three-point shooter. And then he continued to go out there and beat up on Byron Russell. How was MJ as a teammate from your perspective?
Man, practices are always fun with Mike because Mike is super competitive. Mike wants to win at everything. And so there was never a light day at practice because back then you had to realize in the old school NBA, you scrimmaged all the time. Like, you always scrimmaged in practice. And because Mike is so competitive, there was always a competitive edge to practice. And so some of the best practices we had were when Doug Collins would put MJ on one team and Stackhouse on the other. And you could almost cut the tension with a knife because it was like both guys had so much respect for each other that they would never disrespect the other man. They would never say anything crazy. Right? Like Mike would never treat Stackhouse the way he treated Scott Burrell. He just wouldn't do that. He like with the UNC bond and just who Stackhouse is as a man. But man, it was like that tug of war where you could tell like MJ was looking for the next Scottie Pippen, but Stack was looking for the torch to be passed. And because both guys had a different view of where things should be, there was this tension in practice where they would always try to prove it to each other. And that made practices fun as I don't know what, JR. That made practices competitive as hell because both of those guys were pushing you, man. They wanted to win those scrimmages as bad as they wanted to win the real games.
I can imagine. We're chatting up with Brendan Haywood. Having said that and talking about how much of a competitor Michael was, and then even dating back to scrimmages, you know, on a consistent basis, do you think the NBA has gotten soft in preparation just because of the economics and how much money players are making today?
No, I don't think the NBA has gotten soft in preparation. I think the NBA has wised up, and the NBA has realized that, you know, if you're going to ask guys to play 82 games, what you shouldn't be asking them to do is play 5-on-5 live with the starters that are playing heavy minutes. They shouldn't be playing 5-on-5 scrimmages, you know, a day or two before they go out there and play, you know, 30 to 40 minutes in a basketball game. So the NBA hasn't gotten softer. They've gotten wiser. They understand rest and all these things. And that's why you're seeing guys have longer careers. Like, look, Isaiah Thomas, played 12, 13 years. Larry Bird, 12. He's like, a lot of these guys didn't have super long careers back then. You're seeing so many guys extend their careers because they're getting more rest. They're rehabbing their bodies better. They're getting the massages. They're getting proper treatment. They train all year round. So the NBA hasn't gotten softer. It's just gotten more. It's gotten wiser.
Okay, we're chatting it up with Brendan Haywood, NBA champ with the Dallas Mavericks. Brendan, I got to ask you this. When you think about on court, we both know Channing Frye. He's taken a beating over the past several days, you know, from his comments about Michael Jordan was strictly a
scorer. That's your guy.
Nobody would want to play with him.
You work with him. That's your guy.
Oh, he's my guy now. He started the trouble. He's my guy, Brendan, huh?
Hey, JR. When you say ridiculous stuff about Michael Jordan, he can't be my guy. So he got to be your guy.
Okay.
I seen you on handles with Channing Frye.
Okay, so he's my guy. Well, let me ask you a question about my guy. We heard what Channing said. Guys wouldn't necessarily want to play with him. I mean, even last night we heard from LeBron on YouTube. LeBron said, hey, I would have loved to have been like his Scottie Pippen. So what are your thoughts on how MJ would fit in, quote-unquote, in 2020?
I think MJ would fit in just fine. The one thing we both know about Channing Frye is he is a very funny, entertaining guy. And Channing, I honestly think, was trolling when he made those comments about, you know, people wouldn't want to play with Michael Jordan. I don't think Channing really believes that. Like, just because people still want to play with Kobe Bryant, and Kobe Bryant acts exactly like Michael Jordan. Exactly. Like, why do you think those two got along so well? Because, you know, Mike saw a lot of himself in Kobe. So I think that, you know, Channing was a little bit off on that one. Michael Jordan, if he played in today's game, he would still be winning championships, and people would still want to play with him. You know why, JR? Because he would be winning. People always want to play with a winner. People always want to play with a winner. And if a guy can help you win, it doesn't matter what city you're in or what he does that's eccentric, people will turn a blind eye to it if they think they can win. And that's just the fact of the matter. So if Michael Jordan played in today's game, he'd still be getting championship at the championship.
We chatted up with Brendan Haywood, NBA champion with the Mavericks. And to not to ignore that, let's talk about that season when you played basically with Dirk and you guys went out and beat that Miami Heat squad. Do you feel that Dirk gets his just due for what he's meant to the game of basketball, especially internationally?
I really don't. I really think Dirk is looked over. When you start talking about best power forwards, they talk about, you know, McHale, they talk about Malone and Barkley, but Malone and Barkley don't have a championship. And that's no disrespect to either one of those guys, but when you look at Dirk and all the all-star appearances that he's had. And you look at, he has an MVP appearance too. But on top of that, he has a finals championship and a finals MVP. And he probably was one of the bigger, that's probably one of the bigger upsets in NBA history, because Dirk at 32 years old took on Miami's big three, the Heatles. He took those guys on in their prime. Bron and Bosch were both 26. I think Wade was like 28. So he beat those guys in his prime. So I think that Dirk, when they start mentioning the best power forwards, I think they got to put a little bit more respect on his name. I know that the McHales and Tim Duncans are going to be ahead of him. But then I think right after that, they should be talking about Dirk Nowitzki ahead of a lot of these other guys.
Okay, we're chatting up with Brendan. You played with Dirk. You guys won the title. A few years later, you were a member of the Cavs, weren't able to go ahead and win that title. So you played with LeBron. What was that experience like playing with LeBron, basically, you know, while he was trying to continue and establish his own legacy?
The experience of playing with LeBron was great, because LeBron is really a great guy. He's a great person. And people always ask, what's the difference between Mike and LeBron? It's like their leadership styles are different. Like, you know, Mike is going to be in your face and demonstrative. LeBron is going to be more calm. He's going to kind of try to let you find your own way. When he has to tell you something, he's going to be a little bit more passive aggressive. But and then genuinely, LeBron wants to bring everybody together. He's the guy that's going to have everybody out to dinner on the road. Everybody, let's go bowling. Everybody, go to the movies. You know, like, that's the type of stuff that he does, because LeBron wants to bring the whole team together. He wants that team dynamic to be strong. So LeBron is a great guy. Very, very, JR, the most generous superstar I've ever played with. When LeBron got stuff, the whole team got it. He was sponsored by Samsung. He was giving us Samsung phones. I was an iPhone guy, and I still had Samsung phones. I was giving them away. Beats by Dre headphones, man, I had every single color in the in-ears, the big boys. I had all that. Like, he just made sure that his guys were taken care of. The new LeBron came out and made sure everybody had multiple pairs. Send them to your family if you needed them. Like, LeBron was just that type. But LeBron is a great person. That's the biggest takeaway, is that LeBron is just really a great person, and he cares about his teammates, man. Like, he is willing to share everything he has with his teammates. And, you know, some stars aren't like that, but LeBron really is.
Yeah, Brendan, that's not all that surprising, just when you think about all the things that LeBron has done publicly. And, I mean, you could talk about his teammates. I mean, he takes stands on issues of social justice. He's not one to, you know, just sit down with his mouth closed. So it's not surprising to hear that he's a great teammate. And for someone who's been in the public eye since high school, I mean, what's his biggest beef? People want to beef with LeBron about the decision? Besides that, I think he's been exemplary. I don't think we could have asked for more to where he is, a third all-time in scoring with the ability to go and get more. It's not surprising at all.
Yeah, I think when you look at LeBron's career, it's been stellar off the court. Like, he doesn't have anything that you can – he doesn't have any scandals. You know, there aren't any DUIs. You know, there isn't any domestic violence situation. There aren't anything where he says something that's just absolutely, like, racist or ridiculous. Or, like, LeBron doesn't have any of those off-the-court scandals. And when you look at the fact that he came out of high school and he's been pretty much trying to figure it out along the way, and like you said, the only thing you can really say is maybe he got the decision wrong, and you know what? He admitted that. Like, he probably should have done that a little bit differently, but you live and you learn. You don't get everything right in your mid-20s. Man, I made so many mistakes in my mid-20s, but just no one cared at that point. You know, so I wasn't LeBron James. I didn't have a microscope. So when you look at this guy living in a fishbowl and still finding a way to get everything right and still go out there and be a positive force for change in the black community and not afraid to speak up on political issues and racial issues, man, you got to tip your cap to the guy.
We chatted up with NBA champion and current analyst Brendan Haywood. I got to ask you this in conclusion. LeBron last night said he was actually thinking about, or he entertained, joining the Dallas Cowboys when the NBA looked like it might be rolling towards a lockout. 6'9", I mean, he'd be a murderer at tight end or wide receiver. I mean, but I think it'd take one hit for him to change his mind. What do you think about that?
I think LeBron is trolling. LeBron got a lot of free time right now, and he's playing around with y'all because he knows people are going to cover these stories. LeBron knows good and damn well, lockout or no lockout, he was never going to risk his millions of dollars, his incredible shoe money and his basketball contracts and everything else, he was never going to risk that to go out there and try to take some hits in the game of football. Have you seen how the football players all want NBA contracts? Why the hell would he do that and go get a football contract? They're not nearly getting as paid as much money as athletes in baseball or basketball. So, nah, LeBron is trolling. I know he loves football. He's a big Cowboys fan. He was like the number one wide receiver in the state of Ohio coming out of high school. So he was a bad boy when it came to football.
Yep,
but please believe, LeBron knows he was never going to play football seriously at the NFL level.
Yeah, he said that contract from Jerry Jones, I guess it's honorary. It's up on that wall. Doc Rivers.
Man, he's trolling y'all, JR, man. He's saying stuff like that just so people like you will do these interviews, man. He's trolling y'all, man.
Well, it's great. It gives us something to talk about now, doesn't it? Where can people keep up with you? You're doing a lot of talking as well. What's the word with you and Ryan?
Hey, listen, man, you can keep up with me, first of all, on my Instagram page, bwood_33. Then myself and Ryan Hollins, we came out with a podcast. It's called the Opinionated Seven Footers Podcast. It's on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Man, go check it out, man. Our first guest was Gary Payton. We just put one out today with Gilbert Arenas. It's an incredible interview. Gil is still wild as hell. So, yeah, man, check us out, the Opinionated Seven Footers Podcast. We like to have a lot of fun on there. We got strong opinions. We bring guests on to have strong opinions as well, but we also let them tell their stories. And there's some very, very interesting stories on the Gilbert Arenas podcast as well as the Gary Payton one that we did.
Always good when you can have somebody with a ring like you on. Brendan Haywood, appreciate the time. I know I'm not allowed on the 7-Footer podcast by no means, so I appreciate you coming on here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR, you know you welcomed on there, man, because you're the best in the game at the numbers business, so we would definitely have you on there, man, to just pick your brain on some of these fantasy numbers.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.